Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Tuesday today. Got some interesting stuff today. This is another, I just pulled up this article a minute ago now. Residences along the East Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Caribbean reportedly received a false tsunami warning Tuesday morning. I did not receive one down here in Florida, neither did Dad that I know of. But apparently all over up and down the East Coast, a private company sent out alert following a monthly test by the National Service. They said the test message was released by at least one private sector company as an official tsunami warning, resulting in widespread reports of tsunami warnings received via phones and other media across the East Coast, Gulf of Mexico, and Caribbean. We're currently looking into why the test message was communicated as an actual tsunami warning. We will provide more information as soon as we have it. That was from the National Weather Service. So I found this very odd because a lot of people started kind of getting spooked at first.
Hey, Tom, we're going to call Austin back. We had some phone issues earlier today at the office, so we're going to go ahead and jump and talk about the tsunami issue that Austin's talking about real quick. What's interesting about the tsunami issue is that it's almost as if the government is testing early warning systems if we did not have a missile actually heading towards Hawaii last week. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, we have early warning systems for tsunamis. We have early warning systems for nuclear attacks. We have early warning systems for tornadoes. We have early warning systems for hurricanes. Of course, people pretty much know hurricanes are headed towards them anyhow. But it's almost as if this defense readiness is being tested in order to try to determine. Hey, bud, I'm talking about the tsunami information. It's almost as if the government is basically testing these programs to see if their programs still work. I mean, when I was a kid, Austin, this is crazy, we had sirens set up in our neighborhood for early nuclear warnings from an inbound missile attack here in Florida from Cuba and from the Soviet Union. And every once in a while, we would have drills. And if you're my age, 60 years old or older, you'll remember this back in the 60s. They said, we have a nuclear bomb coming in. We're having a missile drill in the classroom. So here we are, the little 5- and 6-year-olds are crawling under our desks in the event of a real bomb or missile that's going to detonate in our area, or basically an attack from the Soviets. I mean, this garbage they did to us over and over and over and over again until they basically put this into our brain that, you know, we were in a situation where an attack was imminent. It got to the point where it was so bad with my mom being out of Germany, they were actually selling bomb shelters here in Polk County where we live, and my mom actually took we, the children, with her, and we basically, because my parents were divorced at this point, and looked at bomb shelters to be installed in the event of a true national nuclear emergency here in Polk County. And there were bomb shelter places popping up everywhere in this area. Now, that's how nuts they got back in the 60s. In fact, I've got a friend of mine who had a big home over there in Lakeland, and they actually had a huge bomb shelter that had been put into the bottom of their home, into the first story. It was like an old southern mansion. It was Gordon concrete. And they had a giant, giant door that actually closed shut in the event of a nuclear blast. So all of us were being tested on an ongoing basis with this alert system. Now, this thing with the tsunamis is very strange to me, because the only way we would have a tsunami like this is in the event of a massive underwater earthquake with seismic shifting of plates in the Atlantic Ocean or in the Gulf of Mexico, which is very difficult in the Gulf of Mexico. Atlantic Ocean would be easier because it's a lot deeper. Or in the event that we had some type of asteroid strike in which the actual ocean was hit and we had a giant wave coming towards us, or a nuclear detonation of something causing a seismic shift that we probably saw with the tsunami that hit Japan that busted up the Fukushima reactor. All of these things are always on the drawing board on these elites as far as what they're planning on doing. It's like the stock market dropping. That was almost a little slap on Trump's wrist saying, you know, you released the FISA memo, you know, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. Because remember, he's doing what the New World Order wants him to do as far as the whole Zionist protocol in the Washington, D.C. area. He's doing all of that. However, he is stretching his wings a little bit and now exposing a lot of the deep state members, including the CIA and the FBI. So they're not really happy with him at this point as far as these Nazis that George Bush and the Clintons were aligned with. I hate to say it that way, but that's how the easiest way to do it. This fascist, satanic, weirdo group of people that are fighting for the power of the United States. So I don't know, Austin, with the tsunami being done out on the East Coast and down in the Gulf of Mexico. Like you said, we weren't notified on our cell phones whatsoever, but we are inland. We are probably close to 50, 60 miles. We're right in the middle of the state, right in the middle, the highest ground you're going to get. I think we're like 65 feet above sea level, which isn't much. But this is where we are right now in the center of the state. And so we don't have to really be concerned about a small wave coming in on the East Coast or into the Gulf of Mexico. It's not going to affect us. Perhaps that's why we weren't notified. But I agree with you. It's very, very strange. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, just every aspect of it. The fact that we've had three of these false alerts, supposedly, in the last, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, with what happened in Japan, what happened in Hawaii, what happened on the East Coast now. Very, very strange to me. So it's just something to kind of keep an eye out and make sure we all kind of monitor it and see what's going on with this nonsense, because there's something else going on behind the scenes. This is too coincidental to be happening, especially with the same incidences that we heard about in Hawaii. And then later on, we found that we actually heard from numerous individuals that there was some type of incoming missile that was taken out before it got to Hawaii. Very, very odd stuff.
Yes, very, very weird. Oh, by the way, once upon a time, there were actually aluminum-free adjuvant vaccines. What happened? This is a very interesting article. I thought I'd read you part of this because I thought it was very, very well written. It's by Frombeck, and it says, do you realize that aluminum adjuvants in vaccines do not require clinical approval? It's the vaccine that gets approval. That's the technicality as delineated by various independent vaccine researchers. There's also a lot of other compounds that are put in the vaccines that don't need approval. That being said, aluminum is a nerve toxin and with neurotoxic effects and the probable cause and effect of associations of various diseases, most notably multiple sclerosis, where the myelin sheath is destroyed. Another life-altering disease, as clinically established by French researchers and doctors at the Henri Mondor Hospital in France, is MMF, which is macrophagic myofasciitis, which is a rare muscle disease, which Henri Mondor has become a focal researcher center for due to the researchers there, confirming the findings that aluminum vaccines is the apparent cause and effect, especially high aluminum vaccines such as the HPV vaccine, which have caused severe life-threatening adverse effects and health reactions in young girls and boys. Now, what's crazy about this is each 0.5 milliliter dose of the vaccine also contains approximately 500 micrograms of aluminum. Okay, so this is a huge amount of aluminum, and it's saying that this may be causing some of these diseases. Aluminum hydroxide is the most popular of these aluminum, the aluminum that is used in vaccines. It was made available in 1927 when it was thought to be safe, with no updated scientific studies. Talk about modern medicine and pharmacology living in the past, but propagizing here the state-of-the-art medicine. Now, this is interesting. Listen to this. Historically, aluminum seems to have gotten a clean slate, which, like the microwave industry, relies on antiquated documentation because recent research would both declare both microwaves and aluminum as neurotoxins. Here's some of the ancient aluminum research which needs updating in the minds of big business. Now, 1854, aluminum concluded as a harmless metal. 1886, aluminum cooking utensils approved. However, in 1891, 5 years later, two German scientists said aluminum could be eroded into food during cooking. That's why you should never, ever use aluminum pots and pans. Now, in 1997, the aluminum adjuvant was tested in the USA using a radioactive isotope of aluminum injected into two rabbits, and then measuring the level of radioactive aluminum the rabbits excreted in their urine. Now get this, after 28 days, only 6% of the aluminum was excreted and 94% of the aluminum was retained in the rabbits. Now that's nuts, that's a lot of aluminum. Now here's the apparent skullduggery involved in that research. Researchers lost the rabbits' bones, the biological site where aluminum is stored, and it suggested the bones were destroyed. Two rabbits, 28-day study with no further research, and no one can find the specimens, which should have been cataloged. So apparently this is a giant cover-up. Now remember, it's also been linked with aluminum because it binds calcium. It also causes a lot of problems with brittle bones in children. And a lot of folks who have children that have, quote-unquote, been damaged by, you know, sudden infant, you know, or by baby shaken baby syndrome, they're finding out now these babies basically have rickets because their bones are so soft and so porous because of aluminum intrusion into the bones that they're not forming properly. And many of these parents that are being charged with shaken baby syndrome, it's because of the research that was not done causing this problem because of aluminum uptake in the bones. So guys, there's a lot of stuff here about what in the world was going on, about all the stuff they're putting into these vaccines and all of the aluminum. You can finish reading this article. But guys, here's the thing. Once upon a time, they didn't have aluminum in vaccines. They didn't have thimerosal in vaccines. They didn't have all of these poisons and fetal tissue cells and everything else in the vaccine. So guys, stand firm and say, when you go to your doctor, say, "Doc, I want stuff that doesn't have mercury. I want stuff that doesn't have aluminum. I want stuff that doesn't have fetal tissue cells. I don't want any of this stuff in my body. And if I have to inject this stuff, I need a disclaimer from you that you assume full liability that anything that causes any side effects in my body, you're going to be responsible for it." And I guarantee you very quickly, the doctor simply cannot, I'm going to say that very clearly, cannot sign that disclaimer because it could bankrupt him and cause him to be subject to a severe criminal, you know, malpractice suit. So guys, be really aware of what you allow to have your, to have been injected into you and into your children. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right. I mean, this has been one of the issues that I've had such a hard time with vaccines in general. And this is why I said before, if vaccines did not contain all these unnecessary, completely unneeded adjuvants that are known neurotoxins, I would not be as anti-vaccination as I am. But when you know aluminum is a known neurotoxin, when you know mercury is a known neurotoxin, when you know formaldehyde is a toxin, and all this stuff is added into these vaccines completely unnecessarily, you gotta sit back and ask, why? In some of these vaccinations, there's anywhere from 250 micrograms to 450 micrograms in one single injection of aluminum in one time. And some of these kids are supposed to get two and three and four rounds of these different shots over and over and over and over again. And you start doing your research and find out that the CDC itself blatantly even says that the amount of aluminum in water and other aspects as far as exposure is not to be exceeded or it can cause neurodamage. And you start looking at the numbers and it's like four and five times the recommended amount from the CDC in some of these vaccines in one shot. And on top of that, aluminum adjuvants are not even regulated whatsoever under the FDA or any other governing body when they're put in vaccines. None. Zero. Zero control whatsoever. So even the amount they're telling you doesn't even have to be that amount. They can put as much as they want in these vaccinations, which goes to show you why it is so important you stay away from this stuff unless you could truly get a pure vaccine. Also, too, this is something that I found to be quite odd, and I've talked about this for years now. About 2.5 years I've been hollering about this all the time. That this whole transgender agenda with Target, with the bathrooms, with Obama, with all this stuff was just a front. You know, a lot of this was to push their completely and totally perverted agenda on the mainstream public. But I've always said this repeatedly, that this entire transgender push, this liberal, sadistic ideology trying to force the American population into accepting this behavior was nothing less than them trying to slide in and normalize pedophilia. Now, people that are being arrested for pedophilia are now claiming that they are essentially trans-age people and they need to be basically helped out. A 38-year-old pedophile now who was just recently admitted to molesting three underage girls over the last 3 years, Joseph Roman from Chicago, has now claimed in court he self-identifies as a trans-age person, claiming he is actually a 9-year-old boy trapped in an adult's body. Roman confessed to all the crimes on video and on paper, prompting law enforcement to charge him with a Class X felony, the worst type of felony classification right behind first-degree murder. This is right around the time that Roman tried to claim now that he really didn't commit pedophilia because he is trans-age. None of this is surprising, of course, considering the fact of what I've told you with the entire transgender community has been actively engaging in redefining gender and pretty much reality for a long time now. So now if a biological man, you know, think about it, this is where it all started. If a biological man is allowed to identify as a woman, completely opposite of what his body and his DNA and his chromosomes show, and he could use the women's restroom, then it only makes sense to allow young boys who are trapped in mature men's bodies bodies to basically claim that they're not pedophiles, they're essentially trans age. Now, unless the gender insanity of this liberal left is essentially completely stopped and halted, expect all sorts of new identities to emerge to get out of jail free cards. That's what I've talked about, including all the weirdos in Hollywood, all the weirdos in the government and Congress, all these guys that have gotten caught with this stuff before. All they have to do now is pull this card. Trey Sanchez from Truth Revolt joked around. He said, "Welcome to the identity age where anything goes, because who are we to say you're not a 9-year-old boy?" Up next, 30-year-old workers identify as 65-year-old seniors, retires early, and gets Social Security early. This is where it's starting to go now. It doesn't matter what's on your birth certificate. It doesn't matter what they said you were at birth. So technically, it doesn't matter when you were born. It doesn't matter what it says on your Social Security card. If you're confused and you say you're basically a 9-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl, and you pretty much can do whatever you want now because laws and rules don't apply to you, this is where they've taken us now. The slippery slope that the liberals pushed so hard for years ago is starting to show its full face on exactly what I said this was going to turn into, and that is normalizing and legalizing pedophilia, Dad. And it absolutely is nauseating to me.
Well, that's what Hillary Clinton, that's what she wanted to do. I mean, yep. Sex with children. I mean, she's been accused of all of this crazy stuff. Now, whether she's done it or not, I don't know, but there's probably a high probability of it. I mean, these guys are a bunch of sickos. I mean, it's like, you know, I have friends who's, you know, they're big pro-drug people. They're liberals. They're pro-drugs. No, they're pro-everything. They're pro-heroin, pro-whatever. And all of a sudden, one of their children get busted with, you know, being on opiates. Now they're all mad about that. Now they're changing their tune as far as what they believe and they don't believe. I mean, you know, it's like I spoke to several of my liberal friends when Obama won the presidency, and they said, "Are you mad?" I said, "No." I said, pretty much the American president is a figurehead. They've got some leeway as far as what they can do, especially through executive orders. I said, "But," I said, "Obama is going to do what his globalist handlers want him to do." And the same thing with Trump. My liberal friends then got me unbelievably mad. They were crying and screaming for weeks. I mean, crying. I mean, literally crying and screaming for weeks, to the point that one of them, who has a very conservative husband, finally told his wife that she needed to either get, you know, like mental help with a psychiatrist, or just deal with the fact that Trump had won the election. And they continually, you know, she continually hammers Trump, and I keep continually saying to her, he's a figurehead, just like Obama was. That the globalists wanted this transgender stuff to go through. That's why they pushed it. They used him as a person who would push it through. Trump's not going to do that, we hope. So this is how they play us back and forth against each other. So the liberal ideology of basically everything goes, nothing matters, nothing is forbidden, is okay with these guys unless it happens to one of their children. If one of their little 4-year-old or 5-year-old children get raped by a transgender male who claims to be 4 or 5 years old, suddenly they're going to change their understanding of this law in most cases. Now, but some of them are so mentally ill, they won't. Now, speaking of mentally ill people, this is an article out of Breitbart. Sarah Silverman, they were doing a game show, and I'm going to read this about what she said. Comedian Sarah Silverman said during a telethon to support abortions, they were playing a game called Abortion Charades, part of a television.
Oh, gosh.
This is part of a telethon titled Life is a Living Nightmare, a telethon to fix it, hosted by the Lady Parts Justice League. As Life News reports, Silverman and colleague Liz Winstead, creator of The Daily Show, hosted the telethon to raise money for abortions. The event also featured an interview with abortionist Willie Parker, who claims in his recent book there is no moral argument for abortion. Okay? The game of abortion charades, referred to as the blankety-blankety-law charades, was introduced by a woman who was wearing a vagina costume. Religious freedom used to be such a beautiful thing because it was like this big inclusive thing in the country, and now it's just a shroud to legalize hate and stuff like that, Silverman said about religious freedom and conscientious clauses. Now, this she goes on to say, if there's anything that has ever made me want to eat an aborted fetus, it's this law. Now, you heard what I said. I didn't stutter.
Golly.
She was talking about eating an aborted fetus is this law. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you guys. I have no idea if Sarah Silverman has ever eaten an aborted fetus. Don't want to know. Don't care. Don't want to go there. Because this is something that these guys do on the left who are in satanic practice and worship, they eat aborted fetuses. They also eat babies after they've been killed and after they've been tortured. Now you say, well, they don't really do stuff like that. Guys, these sicko blankety 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 blanks do this, okay? So here's the problem that I have with all of this. In my normal speech, if someone was asking me a question, I would never come up with something about eating an aborted fetus. I don't talk like that. That to me is so morally repugnant that I simply cannot even justify those words coming out of my mouth. It's kind of like that absolute nightmare Hillary Clinton, when she's talking about in her emails about going up and getting a rabbit's foot out of the attic and sacrificing, you know, a chicken to Moloch in the backyard. Who talks like this? Who in the world is so stinking sick that when they have a question come up on a game show, weirdo, spoof like they're doing or whatever this thing was, they talk like this? Who talks in an email about sacrificing a chicken to Moloch in the backyard? Who in the world thinks this crap is okay? Apparently the left does. And again, back to my reasoning that most of these guys are mentally ill or there's something seriously, seriously wrong with them. What do you think, Austin?
That's bizarre. It reminds me right back what we were talking about a couple weeks ago when Jerry Seinfeld was on that show and he said, see, the thing with a pancake is it needs to have the consistency of a young child's flesh. When people say stuff like this, like you just said, when I was younger, I've been around some heathen people before. I've been around some weird people before. I still have yet to be around anybody that ever talks with that type of sadistic wording. Who refers to your food as eating children's young flesh or eating aborted fetuses? That's just not even, that's not even to the point of being crude anymore. That's the point, like I just used the word very sincerely, that's the point of being sadistic. It's absolutely repugnant. It actually makes me quite nauseous even talking about it, but that's very, very bizarre, Dad. Other news with what's going on with the borders right now. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection has long sought a way to identify the millions of travelers who come in and leave the country each year through land border crossings into Mexico and Canada. A few years back, Congress ordered the agency that they have the ability to use biometrics to identify non-U.S. travelers leaving and coming into the country. The technology was just in its infancy a few years ago. But thanks to the quantum leaks and facial recognition technology, especially over the past year, the future is arriving sooner than most Americans realize. As early as this summer, CBP will set up a pilot program to digitally scan the faces of drivers and passengers while they are in their moving vehicles.
Oh,
the agency will use the results of the South Texas effort to set the stage for a wider rollout along the southern and northern borders. Customs and Border Protection already operate facial recognition exit programs at nearly a dozen international airports. While agency officials say facial recognition technology has the potential to transform how we travel, possibly, here we go, doing away with the need for passports, boarding passes, and other travel documents and going strictly to biometrics, but the critics foresee some very significant problems with this. Analysis at Electronic Frontier Foundation and Georgetown's Center on Privacy and Technology have argued the program could lead to mission creep. I've talked about this so many times. This is one of the biggest issues we've run into, not just in the Border Patrol, but in the DEA, the ATF, local sheriff's departments, local police departments. Mission creep is a serious, serious problem. And what they're referring to that is when something starts, it's used for a very specific purpose and will not be used for anything else. However, in 9 out of 10 cases, when you look at law enforcement activity, whether it's sheriffs, DEA, ICE, ATF, any of these guys, mission creep almost occurs in 95% of the time in any type of usage that they come up with. Almost every time, guys, because as soon as they find out they can get away with doing it here, they say, well, if we can do it here, can we do it here? Well, technically it's a gray area. You really can't do it there, but you can kind of try. Okay. Well, they creep over to the next one. That's what's called mission creep, to the point where it starts rolling out and you see instances like Waco Massacre or Ruby Ridge. That's where it escalates into. So what they're saying here now is this form of additional unauthorized government scanning is going to cause a very significant issue. At least two members of Congress have already questioned whether the agency's program is illegally spying on American citizens. In December last year, a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen was sent by two U.S. congressmen and requested that the program's expansion be fully halted until the agency can demonstrate its legality. While Congress has repeatedly voted to authorize biometric entry-exit scanning of foreign nationals, it has never clearly authorized biometric exit scanning for U.S. citizens, the senator wrote. Last year, the researchers at Tennessee's Oak Ridge National Laboratory, which is sponsored by the U.S. Energy Department, of course, began to crack the challenges that make facial recognition technology so difficult to apply to moving vehicles. Here's where it gets creepy, guys, and here's where the mission creep is going to start up immediately on every single aspect. Most facial recognition software, when it tries to essentially record you through window tinting, sun glare, you know, heavy window tint on side windows, windshield tint, stuff like that, can make car windows essentially impenetrable to normal cameras. Just simply can't get a read at all. And to be effective on facial recognition cameras, they need to be able to identify both driver and passenger, even those riding in the back seat. Faces will be at different heights, window tint will be different percentage, light glare will be at different angles, some surely will be angled away from the camera. Well, the Oak Ridge researchers that I just talked about, who are sponsored directly by the U.S. Energy Department, have now developed technology that lets cameras penetrate glare and tint so strongly that they could not see through the vehicle with the naked eye, meaning they were going in and they were putting 5% limo tint on windshields and using this new technology, and the cameras were actually penetrating through the windshield and getting full 96% accuracy facial recognition through the windshield when they were not even be able to see with a naked eye. This is scary stuff, guys, because the Customs and Border Protection has now challenged tech firms in the Silicon Valley and beyond to refine the technology and make it even more accurate. This stuff is going to lead to a totalitarian nightmare, all the way from toll booths to traffic cameras, the Border Patrol crossings. This is where it's escalating. This is why the congressman said this is going to lead to mission creep. All this stuff now is being beta tested on the very south border in Texas, and they already have plans to roll it out throughout the entire southern border from Texas all the way to California. And I'm sure, and you can bet money on this, that it will lead to every other aspect of surveillance cameras throughout the entire country in the very, very near future. So this is something that I saw today, Dad, that was very troubling to me, but the fact that these guys are essentially they're having to use some type of combination of x-ray cameras along with possible ultraviolet lighting with some type of other penetrating camera, whether it be 5G technology, all combined to be able to use this on moving vehicles in combination of window tint and sun glare and still be able to get full facial recognition software. This is definitely very creepy.
You know, Austin, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, that's what I love about this show. I mean, when we do shows like this, you know, that you're flashing stories back and forth to me that I haven't even seen, and I can't even imagine what the audience must feel like when they hear all these shows, because I don't hear any of this stuff on anybody else's show. Okay,
yeah.
Especially not with that type of analogy that you did with it. I don't know what kind of technology this is. This must be some type of ground penetrating, window penetrating radar of some type, because I mean it's probably all tied back to the plasma soup they have us in from the chemtrails and its ability to see through things. I mean, it's like the ground penetrating radar and over the counter radar, which gives you these very clear, vivid projections in the military domain. It has to be tied back into the 5G network. It has to be tied back into how much aluminum and barium is in the atmosphere. It has to be tied into this type of network that basically can see through walls. Remember that one movie, Eraser? We talk about that every once in a while on the show with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had those weapons that could actually, when you were looking through the scope, you could actually see the individuals walking around in the house, you know, basically heat signatures, and you could actually aim through the wall and kill people. And they actually have that technology. That technology is old school now. But to be able to go through window tint, it has to be a derivative of some type of X-ray technology combined with this deep penetrating radar system in which these systems are so... But you think about this for a second. 96% accuracy, you say, on this doggone software, going through 5% window tint, which is completely pitch black on the inside of the car. You can't see, you're hard to see out. At night, it's almost impossible to see out even to drive these vehicles. It's so dark. But yet, this thing can actually illuminate the interior of this car and actually see people's faces and be able to recognize who they are, you know, just within instantaneously. Remember, you're not just driving. You're driving 70, 80 miles an hour coming towards these things. They only have a few seconds to actually do this. And it blows my mind. This technology is where we are. I know. Again, this is Roswell technology. You say, well, everything's Roswell technology to you, Ted. No, it's not. Everything's not Roswell technology to you. Wilbur and Orville Wright built a plane 100 and so years ago that could actually hold together with baling wire and basically rudders and sticks, all right, and paper on the wings. That's where we were 100 years ago, my friends. That's where we were a little over 100 years ago. You know, at Kitty Hawk, when the thing flopped up in the air for 500 feet and landed, and we said, man has achieved flight. That's where we were, okay? Then suddenly you fast forward 40 years to Roswell, and now all of a sudden, Germany's coming out with jets in the late mid-40s. Now all of a sudden we have anti-gravity technology that the Germans put together back in the 30s and the 40s. How in the world did we go from baling wire and paper wings to what we have today, including this type of technology, without some type of advanced help? That's all I've got to say. Today we were talking about the iliac psoas muscle, which is a muscle that attaches to the anterior portion of the spine and actually is a stabilizer muscle in the hips. Very complicated muscle with what it does, allowing you to stand and walk. And I remember in college we learned about this when we were in gross anatomy, quite frankly, when we were dissecting things and rhesus monkeys and stuff. And what was interesting about this is I remember they told us if this muscle detaches from the back of the front part of the spine, the anterior portion of the spine, then you're basically crippled. You can't stand up or walk. You can't even maintain an erect posture. And I told my wife today, we're talking about this particular muscle, and I said to her, I said, you know what I find so amusing with these evolutionists, these Darwinists, these liberals that are too stupid to get out of the rain when it's basically monsooning and they want to stand there and just look up in the sky and drown themselves. I said, here's the problem I have with these guys, is they believe that rock, that lightning hit a rock and formed a peptide. Those peptides combined together to form proteins. Those proteins combined together to form the first amoeba. How in the world did that happen? They can't even duplicate that in a laboratory. Now all of a sudden this amoeba gets together and wants to hop in some pond slime with some more proteins, and suddenly a single cell organism is arriving that's basically going to be the precursor to the mammalian DNA. Are you kidding me? Who in the world comes up with this garbage? I mean, who can even believe this stuff? We were put here and we were divinely designed by Yahweh himself. Now, we say, so you're saying God's a geneticist? Yeah, I am. I'm saying God's a geneticist. He's a research biochemist geneticist who has the power of life and death and can create life in his hands because he is God. It was like Moses said in that movie, you know, Moses, the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. He finally says, your God is God. That's what we have here. We have a being that we don't really understand, who's decided he likes us and has put us in covenant with himself through his son that allows us to have this understanding of what life really is. Now these guys believe this slime was in the bog, the primordial ooze, which they can't recreate from anything. And now the primordial ooze decides to create this something that crawls out of the slime. And a billion years later, they're saying it turns into a human being. Well, so number one, here's the problem. If they're saying, well, it turned into monkeys first and apes first, so why in the world do we still have monkeys on the planet? Now, I'm just going to make that comment. If we have this evolutionary pathway that the weaker of the species basically dies off, why are there still monkeys and apes and gorillas running around? And why are they not all dead? That's number one. And then they say, well, we have divergent evolution, which means we come from a single source and then we go out to different things. Okay, whatever. All right, I got all that. Here's the thing. We are so complex with our DNA, with the coding that we've been given, that it's impossible from a mathematics standpoint to put a model together with the age of the known universe that this thing could happen through random selection of weird things in the middle of the night going bump in lightning storms that ever would create life. And then the other thing you got to think about is where in the world did the lightning come from? How'd that happen? I mean, what was it? How'd that ever get here? How'd the planet ever get here? So all of this stuff, these guys just gloss over, and they say, after billions of years of evolution, these things that crawled out of the swamp become man. Okay, it's a whole lot easier for me to believe that Yahweh is here, that Yahweh is this research biochemist who is God, who is a dark, who basically is a geneticist, who put us together and basically built the planet and built us. That makes a whole lot more sense than lightning hitting a rock. Because every time you get these guys ironed down and you get them to the point, you say, okay, go back, go back, go back, go back. Finally, it turns into lightning hit a rock. Unbelievable. I can't even believe these guys do this. And they went up, then they prayed all these weird gods and all the weird stuff that they... just a bunch of weirdos. By the way, another article I found interesting. Meditation doesn't make you a calmer person. Buddhist practice leaves people just as aggressive and prejudiced, research study has proven. Meditation has long been touted as being able to make the world a better place, but new research suggests this widely held theory may actually just be a myth. A team of scientists have found it does not make a person more compassionate by doing this thing and zenning out. Now, I'm saying this for one reason only. Buddha is dead. The Hindu gods are dead. Muhammad is dead. All these guys are dead. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's doing very well, I should add. And he basically is our God. And when you connect to a dead person through meditation, you're connecting into absolutely nothing. That's why meditation doesn't work. That's why whenever I see these little articles, meditation does this, meditation does that. No, prayer to the Most High God changes your life. Prayer to the Most High God is the answer as far as what we need on this planet right now to bring the righteousness, peace, and joy back into this planet that we originally started with. But guys, these people are always looking to fill the God-shaped vacuum that's inside of every man, woman, and child on this planet with some other god, some alien possession that doesn't belong inside of you, like this weird stuff that people do, trying to buy weird things and do weird things, or basically have money fill this vacuum. The only thing that's ever going to fill this vacuum is a relationship with the Most High, with Yahweh and with Yeshua. That's how this works. And until a person finds that vacuum and fills it with God, he's never happy, nor is he ever content, nor does he ever have the peace that passes all understanding when we keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely, man. That was really good. Some really good info there. Yeah. Also, too, in other news now, with going on in Europe, as you guys know, the UN and Hungary and the EU in general have just been in a nightmare for the last couple of years with the migration. Hungary's been a very, very large proponent of not allowing the migrants to come in basically unchecked. They've even put in their own wall and fencing and everything else. They're double-layered fencing that is electrified. Well, now the Hungarian leaders today have blasted a new UN migration treaty currently in the developmental stages that would literally pry Europe's borders open even wider, saying it looks like it was copied directly from the Soros plan, and I quote, and threatening to abandon negotiations altogether. So what's happening now, the Hungarian leaders are saying they're going to completely walk away from the table if UN doesn't scrap this, and that essentially what they're bringing to the table is literally a textbook template of what George Soros has put together with his migration policy. Officials from Hungary also are arguing that it promotes rather than discourages an increase in migration from the third world to Europe. They have also asserted the global plan runs parallel to agendas being promoted by the European Union and the George Soros mafia and the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and his co-conspirators. Foreign Minister Peter Schwartz has warned that his government is completely prepared to walk away from the negotiating table, vowing to uphold sovereign immigration policies that put Hungary's safety and security above all of the unelected internationalists. He said the Hungarian government wants migration to be stopped. stopped completely, not promoted. The minister explained that the treaty calls for countries to relax their immigration laws and penalties for illegal entry, and, get this, to transfer the migration control solely over to the non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and charities, many of which are directly funded by George Soros. Hungary has had very bad experiences with NGOs, Orban said. The fake civic organizations dealing with migration are literally eating out of George Soros' hand, he said. The ability to protect the border is one of the most important aspects of statehood, an important component of sovereignty. Secretary of State Zoltán Kafas has said Hungary is prepared to build another fence and boost its police and military forces and shape the legal environment to suit its goals. I have to continue to give a standing ovation to Hungary and what they're doing to try to preserve the unity and national sovereignty and protection of their citizens in their country. Very few other countries besides Poland are actually standing up for the rights of their citizens. Almost all of them have capitulated and bowed down to the New World Order and allowing themselves to literally be completely raped, and at the same time paying the people to come in to rape them like Greece has done now. So Hungary, I applaud you. You guys are standing strong on this, and I'm really glad to see these guys are not giving in to the New World Order and the globalist agenda, Dad, over there in Europe right now.
Well, I like Hungary. I was in Budapest, I guess it was a couple of years ago now. Had a blast. Had a great time. We actually went on a missions trip there. Now, I will give you some advice. We flew into Vienna. I think it was Vienna or Salzburg. I can't remember. I think it was Vienna, Austria. And we drove over to Budapest. And now, the road that goes into Budapest is like a six-lane superhighway. The problem is, I can't read Hungarian. And I had no idea you had to have basically a pass for the toll. And there wasn't a toll booth. You know, there was no place to stop. You had to stop on the side of the road and pick up a little pass, I guess, for your windshield. Well, I didn't have it on the windshield, so I drove over and back and got a fine of $175 each direction. It cost me $350 because I drove on this toll road, which should have cost me like for a $10 pass I had to pass because I didn't read Hungarian. So I love the country to the point of I don't even care about this, because if this helps them to continue to fight the globalists and the New World Order, my little $350 contribution, I'm good with it. Because it wasn't their fault that I couldn't read Hungarian, because I was in their country and it was my responsibility to know how to do that. So guys, it's so important that we understand that when we have countries like Hungary, or we have countries like Poland, or countries that say, like Czechoslovakia, that say, we don't want these people in our country that are going to destroy our culture. It's countries like Switzerland or Austria. Now Austria's got themselves in a mess, by the way, right now, because they take it in too many of these people. I was so pleased when Hungary was putting that big border fence up with all the razor wire, Austin, because they did not want anybody coming into their country like they have in Greece now. Remember what I told you in Greece when I was in Greece last summer? They said they have this entire migrant camp outside of the city in which they basically have all of these brothels in the camp and all of these homosexual brothels, and they sell these young boys into prostitution. And I remember my Uber driver said to me, "Welcome to multiculturalism." Okay, because this is what this is bringing in, guys. You can't allow the entire world from third world countries to pour into your doggone country and not affect your standard of living or affect the culture in itself. It has to happen because you're diluting everything. By the way, the BPA hormone, bisphenol A, has this hormone disruptor that turns little boys into little girls, has now been found in 86% of teenagers' digestive tracts. Yes, you heard that right.
Wow.
A recent University of Exeter study has discovered that nearly all teenagers, 86%, are tested, are holding bisphenol A in their intestinal lining. This chemical that makes plastic stronger and more flexible was found in higher concentrations in teenagers than in the general public, causing major concern that this hormone-disrupting toxicant can affect the reproductive system and also affect their gender identity. I don't know how to say that more clearly than that. You get enough of this female hormone in you and you're a little boy, you're going to start thinking you're a little girl. You're going to be wanting to use the little girl's potty. You're going to be wanting to wear around little dresses and wear your little princess outfit because you're thinking you're a little girl. This isn't okay. That's why I tell you guys, when you buy plastic, water in plastic, there's a high probability you're getting some type of gender-bending chemical in that. That's why when we go places, especially when we take the RV, we have distilled water that I put in 1 gallon jugs that are glass, and we make sure that we keep our water away from plastic and plastic residues. This also is the same thing when you're looking at pesticides. A lot of them are also gender-bending chemicals. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. This is happening to these people, and it's also causing metabolic disorders, obesity, some people say ADHD, and more. It is being found in canned goods and many baby bottles and bottled water, and even canned dog food. I guess the dogs, I don't even want to turn my male dog into a female dog, though I don't have any dogs right now. I mean, this is crazy, because think about it. A lot of canned goods are lined with plastic, supposedly to keep the metal out of the food, but they're lined with a BPA plastic that actually causes you to drink and to eat a gender-bending chemical. I mean, remember, eat as much as your whole food diet as possible. Make sure you make your own soups. Don't use soup cans unless they're BPA-free and they don't have BPA liners in them. You got to drink from glass bottles. You need to be distilling your water and using non-BPA sources like we have with our distillation systems. You know, pour your water into a glass pitcher as soon as it gets done filtering. Keep it away from plastic. Dispose of packaging as soon as you get home from shopping. And if you're going to microwave stuff, which you shouldn't do anyhow, don't ever microwave stuff in the container that it comes in. Put it in a ceramic bowl or whatever you can use in the microwave, a glass bowl, and cook it in that. But don't, better yet, here's what you do. Let's say you buy an Amy's organic burrito. All right, they taste pretty good. Here's what we do here at the house. They stay in the freezer until we get ready to use them the day before. And the day before, we throw them in the refrigerator. We let them thaw. And so now you have this Amy's burrito that's really good. The kids love them. And it's thawed out. It's soft. So all you got to do is take some olive oil or some organic butter and throw it in a cast iron skillet, put it on low, put a lid on it, let it sit for 5 minutes, and it's hot, and it tastes great, and it's phenomenal. And you didn't have to microwave anything, and it still only took a few minutes to cook it because it wasn't frozen. Think ahead. You can take a whole box of these things if you're going to eat them, put them in the refrigerator, let them thaw out. They'll be good for a few weeks, just refrigerated and not frozen. And then the kids can go in and help themselves with this stuff without constantly being exposed to plastics and cooking things in microwaves. It's so important. Remember, as far as your receipts that you get from cash registers, they're almost all BPA ink. Only handle receipts from the backside, and they're a lot less toxic, and try not to even handle them if at all possible. Remember that. If you ask for your email, for a receipt to be placed in a bag or emailed or text you, that's even better. Handle your tax receipts wearing gloves if you can get them at the doctor's office or you can get them at Walmart to avoid all of these things with all this BPA ink from all of these printers. And always remember, guys, you've got to make sure that you avoid things like soy protein. Don't use soy protein. And gosh, don't drink soy milk. Don't do that. I mean, I wrote an article years ago, does soy turn little boys into little girls? And the answer is yes, it does. So avoid soy everything. It's so very bad. And I know if you have a baby that's born that's got lactosemia or has got a problem with handling galactose, you know, or a problem with, drinking milk, that kind of stuff, you may have to use a soy-based protein because there really isn't anything else on the market. But barring that you've got a genetic defect in this child, barring that, you should never, ever, ever get anywhere near soy protein, guys. It's just one of those things that you just need to avoid. Also, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, going back to the food prep and stuff like that quickly, also, too, if you are into bodybuilding or weight training and you basically prep your meals, always make sure if you get the Tupperware that you basically put your meals in, you get the hard BPA-free plastic. A lot of the Tupperware, it's real hard. I mean, it's almost like glass, like a plexiglass. A lot of the cheaper Tupperware on the market is very, very flimsy, and almost all of it is massively infused with BPA. Usually, a good rule of thumb, and you definitely do some research on this, but from what I have found, the softer the plastic, the more chances are, actually very high chances are, that it has BPA in it. When you get the hard plastic, like even the 2-gallon storage container that we carry for our water distillers, that's BPA free. But it's like plexiglass. It's very hard. If you take it out and you threw it out in your driveway, you're probably going to crack it. It's probably going to break and splinter up. If you take some of these water bottles and some of this stuff that this food is stored in, I mean, some of these water bottles, I've grabbed them, moved stuff out of the way on shelves before, and you grab them and like your whole fingers sink into the whole water bottle. I mean, it's literally like liquid plastic. And I'm like, ugh, that's nasty. I don't want to drink out of that. So you don't want to use that stuff. I only have a microwave in my house. Cooking stuff over the stovetop is the best way to cook things, or in the oven, obviously, or, a regular oven, countertop oven. But cooking the stuff in the microwave, especially with young boys, I'm very, very careful about this because I have Hunter, who is 22 months old right now, about to be 2 in April, is that a lot of times they get hungry, they want stuff, but you need to have food readily available that they can snack on if they need to, that's not going to be in a rush to cook in the microwave. But that's why I said I don't even keep stuff in the microwave. I don't even have a microwave in my house. Don't even own a microwave. The reason why is I don't even want to be tempted to use it, so it forces me to prep ahead for meals, dinners, food prep, stuff like that. And like Dad said, once you get the hang of it and you get used to it, it's really not a big deal. You literally don't even think about using one anymore. And the issue is about probably about 2 or 3 months ago, I was over at a friend's house and we were doing something. We were trying to leave in a hurry and I ended up not even cooking it, but heating some food up in a microwave for about a minute, minute and a half. And I ate it and I was in a rush, we shoveled it down, we were out the door. And about 20 minutes later, I was in the truck and I was like, man, I just don't feel good. My energy was off. I got real bad brain fog, and it wasn't bad food. It was food that I had already prepped. It was good, clean, you know, rice, chicken, that kind of thing. So I knew it wasn't the food. And I started thinking about it and I was like, man, I haven't felt like this in a while. And I started thinking about it more and I'm like, that doggone microwave. I'm like, I eat microwave food. I never eat that, man. Completely changed my entire demeanor, my digestive system, my mental acuity. Everything went down, down, down. And I was like, you know what? I haven't done that in a while. I am not going to do that again for a very, very, very long time unless it's an emergency because I do not like the way I feel on conventional microwave food cooking. Not worth it, guys, at all. Also, too, in other news, over what's going on, apparently what we're seeing here, I saw this article from John Rappaport. Apparently, the organizing committee for the Pyeongchang Olympics has called in 900 military personnel after more than 1,200 security workers were pulled off duty because of concerns and spread of a norovirus. They said later evening Tuesday, the organizing committee said 32 cases of the norovirus have been confirmed, and those people have also been quarantined. The Gangneung Province Health and Environmental Research found 41 workers with symptoms that might be related to the virus. However, here's the problem. Officials are now admitting the illness appears to be coming from contaminated water, and you can't reduce that situation to a single virus. So what they've done now is they've tried to use the norovirus as a cover story instead of telling people that essentially the water is basically completely contaminated. Now they're bringing outside water tankers in to basically bring water over to this Olympic area, which I find very interesting. I know the water over there is a big issue. Clean water's huge. This is why we tell everybody, run the water distillers. You know, make sure you're drinking purified water. Water is essential to life. You cannot stay alive much longer than 2 to 3 days without water. There's no question about it whatsoever. So be sure you're drinking purified water. It's pure, it's distilled, it's clean. You're adding in the proper nutrients, the, your ultimate multiple or the Aqua Trace back into it if needed, and you're not drinking contaminated BPA-filled water. It's just not healthy for the body at all, Dad.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. By the way, mental acuity is doing really well today. I took some of that attention factor earlier about 9 o'clock this morning. And I tell you what, that thing has kept those – I took about 3 of them on empty stomach after about an hour after breakfast. And I have been on point all day. I have gotten so much stuff done here at the house, Austin. So I really like that product upon it for occasional use. I don't think I want to use it every single day because it gets me kind of geeked up. But I really like it for the show, so I thought I'd mention everybody. If you're wondering why I'm pretty much mentally acute today, it's because of that product. And, of course, I've been eating real clean all day, too, which I always do. Plus, I took my B-complex vitamins, and I took my xanthine this morning, my Hemlo this morning. That always helps me keep real sharp, too. By the way, a uniformed officer was asked to leave because the Outback Steakhouse was a gun-free zone because of his service weapon. Now, you heard that right. A uniformed officer carrying his service weapon was asked to leave an Outback Steakhouse because it's designated a gun-free zone. In other words, he had his gun with him. He was in full uniform. They asked him to take his gun to his truck. He said he could not because he was in uniform, and they asked him to leave. They told him it was a gun-free zone. Now, you know, it's crazy about this. This is a policy, apparently, of Outback, so I'll be staying away from Outback from now on because of this. But, guys, you know, police officers have always been allowed to carry, you know, if they're in uniform, officers are allowed to carry their sidearms inside of restaurants. But however, this restaurant and this manager simply said no. Apparently, the person who was in there, they probably had a snowflake in there, and they got all scared and started squealing because they saw a gun. Guys, I remember one time I had a guy coming by the house to give me a bid on some work we were doing. I think it was on some stereo equipment or whatever. And I remember I had my 1911 laying on the countertop by itself, you know, just sitting there. He came inside and started shaking. He got all like, "Oh my God, it's a gun!" I said, "It's my gun. What's the problem?" "It's a gun. It's on the counter. I've never seen a gun." And I said, "Dude, it's not going to do anything to you. It's okay. It's not going to jump up and squeeze the trigger. It's okay. Calm down." I gotta go. And they ran out the front door. You think people really like that? This guy was. Now, quite frankly, I wouldn't call him an alpha male. I'd call him, well, I won't tell you what I'll call him, but hey guys, I love you. I'm out of time. I appreciate you too. You guys are awesome. Try some of this attention factor. I like this stuff. I wouldn't take it every day though. See, I'll let you know how I sleep tonight. So, but I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. The ultimate multiple is the bomb. I love the ultimate multiple powder. That's my favorite. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our family. I appreciate you. I prayed for you again this morning, too. God bless you. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And yes, guys, be sure to check out the website as well for the product of the week, the B-Complex, which is ending basically tonight, tomorrow morning, as far as on sale. It's on sale for over 10% off. You can get that right now. And also, too, be sure to vote for the product you want to see on the website at a discount tomorrow. Your votes matter, and we don't rig it. We don't change it. We don't do anything. One vote per product, and that is all you can do. And basically, we keep it as clean and as fair as possible. So vote for what you want. Also, too, the company that we work with on our Tribulus and our Tongat Alley, very pure products. As you guys know, I've taken them regularly. I cycle on and off of them. They're great for natural testosterone production. We have them on the website with the Tongat and the Tribulus. That company has basically worked with us, and we did a promo demo stack on a four different products, including the Tribulus Fuel. The Tribulus Fuel, the Pro Stack, the Pro Cut Core, and the 5M7. They're on the website under the Super Summer Cutter Bodybuilding Stack. I just put that together today. It's basically about $225 for all those products together. We only got 60 of them each in stock for this kit. I got them on sale for $89. Basically, a couple of the products only have about 5-6 months left on the expiration date. However, the company on the stuff we've tested is usually good for about 6 months past the expiration date. It's a very, very strong formula. It is not something I recommend for just the average person that goes to the gym once or twice a week. It is a very good formula as far as for building muscle tissue and burning body fat at the same time. But like I said, it is more of an advanced formula. I just wanted to throw that out there for our listeners. I know I got a lot of listeners that I've worked with that have gone into bodybuilding and train on a regular basis and, you know, compete intense. And this is definitely something to try and give it a look at if you're interested in it. It's on a huge sale right now. So be sure to check it out, healthmasters.com, the Super Summer Cutter. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, as always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.